Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Peace is the cry of every family, every community, every nation in the world, isn't it? Since we all want it, why is it so difficult to live in peace with each other, with ourselves, with our past, even with God? Remember what the angels said as they announced the birth of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Luke 2:14. We sing about it at Christmas time. But have you ever thought about how profound that statement is and how it contains the secret to living immersed in peace? It's really fairly simple. When you and I live our lives for the glory and honor of Holy Almighty God, we will automatically live in peace with God and with each other, unless we are opposed by those who reject God, reject God's truths, reject God's ways, and reject our efforts to live for the glory and honor of God. We're walking with James through his little letter these days, and the Holy Spirit of God led James to write about this. Listen to James 3:18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James 3:18 through chapter 4, verse 3. There are times when the Bible speaks so plainly, even a child can understand. Isn't that true? This is one of those times, isn't it? Look at all the conflicts in the world, everything from war to arguments among customers when shopping in a store or among fans at a ball game. They all root in the same fertile pot of soil, selfishness. And selfishness grows to envy and coveting something which someone else has that I want. In fact, I want it so bad, I'll try to find a way to take it from them. And that could be anything, their land, their job, their influence with others, their joy, their success, their popularity, even their spouse. When that happens on an individual level, it's arguments and fights. And when weaponized, it can go all the way to armed robbery or murder. Have you thought about what it looks like in politics or business or athletics? Can you see how it moves from personal to regional to national to global? This is a big deal, isn't it, my friends? And have you noticed arguments, quarrels, fighting is becoming a national obsession in almost every country of the world? No longer is it limited to face-to-face conflict. Now, with social media, it can move from a private disagreement to global slander in a matter of minutes. Now listen to what James says next. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. James 4:4. Now that's strong language, isn't it? Why would James use the phrase adulterous people? Why not simply say you people? Adultery is selfishness taken to the extreme, isn't it? It's a profoundly hurtful process which tears apart families, ruins reputations, and often destroys lives for generations. I say it's a process because the act of adultery is usually the result of a long period of envy and struggle. Those involved know it's wrong, it will hurt many people, but they refuse to restrain or deny their selfishness. James uses the phrase adulterous people because when a person who claims to be a follower of Jesus turns from having their life focused on living for God's glory to living selfishly, even sinfully, that's spiritual adultery. Instead of full satisfaction in a committed, deep love relationship with Jesus, they have turned their affections to someone or something else, and with such passion that their behavior becomes passionate envy or lust and drives them to words and behavior which can cause conflict and is dishonoring to God. Now ponder that a moment, my friends. What do you think about James saying, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God? Do you see two powerful phrases here? A friend of the world and an enemy of God. Have you thought much about what it means to be an enemy of God? When James uses the phrase a friend of the world, what does he mean? It's not difficult for us to see the evil in our world all around us, is it? This evil permeates every aspect of society. It's dishonesty and greed in business. It's distorting education as educators teach children and adults things that are totally contrary to God and God's truth. It's distorting healthcare to financial profit and actually addicting people to prescription pharmaceuticals. It's distorting healthcare to allow and even promote the slaughter of the unborn. It's distorting entertainment to promote violence and sexual behavior that appears enticing and fun, but profoundly affects the moral values of those watching the entertainment. Oh, it's not difficult for us to find evidence of evil permeating every aspect of society, is it? So when a person enjoys and affirms the immoral values and behaviors of our evil world, they are a friend of the world, and they place themselves in opposition to God and His holiness, His purity, His design for a holy humanity. Do you see why the battle rages for your heart, my friends? Remember, King Solomon wrote, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. Proverbs 4:23. So, how are you protecting your heart every day, every hour, in this evil world? Finally, look at what James says in verse 5. Do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? James is not referring here to any particular verse, Old or New Testament, but rather he's making an overall general statement about the teachings of Scripture regarding the deep desire of God that His people live lives that are God-honoring. But that doesn't happen naturally, does it? The Holy Spirit, living within God's people, longs, deeply desires that God's people would have a hunger to be led by the Spirit to live such lives and would therefore reject anything that would distract them or draw them away from a God-honoring life. Peter wrote it this way, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15. Paul wrote it this way, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. So we began today by my asking you about the global pursuit of peace at all levels of life. James is helping us understand the absence of peace and the presence of discord is the harsh reality of life because humanity insists on living our lives outside of any relationship with God. The more humanity rejects God and insists on living life with no influence of God in our world, the more we will live in conflict with each other and with God. In closing today, friends, I'd like us to consider the world's answer to the absence of peace. War treaties, therapists, attorneys, medications, entertainment, etc. And God's answer to the absence of peace, Jesus. A relationship with Jesus brings peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in relationships, peace with God. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples the night before His death on the cross, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send to you in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give peace to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." John 14. So why don't we close today with simply thanking God that He has made His peace available to us, and let's ponder where that peace is found, how it is received and owned by you and me, and how we live every day in God's peace. And here's an old familiar song to help you consider these great God-given truths about peace. I don't know exactly where this song is being sung in this video, but as you listen to their accents, it tells me it's perhaps South Africa or Kenya or Uganda. Regardless, do you have their peace?